In today's news headlines, the U.S. Senate formally opened its impeachment trial on Thursday, with Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts being sworn in to preside over what will be only the third time in U.S. history that a president is tried in the Senate. A day of rituals around the impeachment played out as the House impeachment managers that Speaker Nancy Pelosi had named carried the two articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump to the floor of the Senate to be read in their entirety. Once at the Senate, Congressman Adam Schiff, who is leading the House impeachment team, read the articles out to senators.
With the permission of the Senate, I will now read the articles of impeachment, House Resolution 755. House Resolution 755. Impeaching Donald John Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. Resolved that Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate.
Senators are also expected to be sworn in individually, pledging to do impartial justice in the impeachment trial. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has openly promised anything but impartial justice, has said that the trial will begin in earnest next week. Top GOP Senator Lindsey Graham has also expressed his disdain for the process, saying on Fox News on Wednesday that, quote, the best thing for the American people is to end this crap as quickly as possible. As the Senate trial formally begins, the Government Accountability Office, a federal watchdog group, made Trump's defense even weaker, announcing on Thursday morning that the White House's withholding of U.S. military aid to Ukraine without congressional approval was illegal. The GAO formally issued its opinion that the White House Office of Management and Budget violated the Impoundment Control Act. The GAO statement also contended that, quote, faithful execution of the law does not permit the president to substitute his own policy priorities for those that Congress has enacted into law. At the same time, an associate of Trump's personal attorney, Lev Parnas, has been giving interviews to media claiming that he acted in concert with Rudy Giuliani and President Trump to pressure Ukraine for political dirt on Joe Biden. Mr. Parnas, in an interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow on Wednesday night, said this.
President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president. I have no intent, I have no reason to speak to any of these officials. I mean, they have no reason to speak to me. Why would President Zelensky's inner circle or Minister Avakov or all these people or President Poroshenko meet with me? Who am I? Mm-hmm. They were told to meet with me, and that's the secret that they're trying to keep. I was on the ground doing their work.
That's Lev Parnas speaking with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow on Wednesday. Parnas also spoke with the New York Times saying, quote, my biggest regret is trusting so much. I thought I was being a patriot and helping the president, he said, adding that he thought by listening to the president and his attorney that I couldn't possibly get in trouble or do anything wrong. Among the documents that Parnas's attorney turned over to House investigators this week was evidence showing that former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, was being illegally surveilled. Now Congress is demanding documents from the State Department to verify any surveillance, and the government of Ukraine has also opened its own investigation into the matter. Just before the Senate impeachment trial began on Thursday, U.S. senators overwhelmingly voted to pass the USMCA, the new version of the NAFTA trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. In spite of their differences, Democrats and Republicans voted together 89-10 to pass the bill. The 10 senators who voted against the USMCA, which came up in this week's Democratic debate, included presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who had publicly announced his opposition. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also voted against it, echoing Sanders' argument that the trade deal does not address climate change. Others voting no included former presidential candidates Senators Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar did vote for the deal. In light of the feud that has opened up between presidential candidates Sanders and Warren, 18 progressive groups on Thursday signed a unity pledge that called on Americans to, quote, focus our fight for the nomination against candidates supported by the corporate wing instead of fighting each other. The groups included 7 that have openly backed Sanders and 2 that have backed Warren, with the rest backing both or being undecided. Meanwhile, the audio of what Warren and Sanders said to one another on stage just after Tuesday night's debate has become public. Warren apparently said to Sanders, "I think you called me a liar on national TV." Sanders responded, "You know, let's not do it right now. If you want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion." A new lawsuit over the late Jeffrey Epstein's sordid deeds alleges that the financier who killed himself in jail was trafficking and abusing underage girls on his private island as late as 2018. According to the New York Times, Epstein was, quote, bringing girls as young as 11 and 12 to his secluded estate in the Virgin Islands and kept a computerized database to track the availability and movements of women and girls. The suit is being brought by the Virgin Islands Attorney General and is aimed at Epstein's estate, which is worth at least $500 million. In international news, John Sopko, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, testified to Congress this week on the failure of U.S. officials to tell the truth about the war. Mr. Sopko's testimony came just weeks after a massive internal trove of papers from his institution was published in the Washington Post, exposing the dishonesty on the war. According to the Post, Sopko said U.S. officials have lied in the past about the number of Afghan children enrolled in schools, a key marker of progress touted by the Obama administration, even though they knew the data was bad. He also said U.S. officials falsely claimed major gains in Afghan life expectancy that were statistically impossible to achieve. Sopko also said, quote, "It turns out that everything that is bad news has been classified for the last few years." Meanwhile, U.S. and Taliban negotiators appear to be returning to the table to discuss a peace plan for Afghanistan after Taliban officials said they would consider a ceasefire. Finally, in Syria, the government of Bashar al-Assad continued its assault on opposition forces, bombing the rebel-held town of Idlib and killing nearly 24 people, this despite a ceasefire that was brokered by Russia and Turkey. A United Nations group called Commission of Inquiry for Syria has released its report into the impact of the war on Syrian children on Thursday, and the results are damning. According to the report, after 8 years of conflict, children in Syria have experienced unabated violations of their rights. They continue to be killed, maimed, injured, and orphaned, bearing the brunt of violence perpetrated by warring parties. Associated Press summarized, "Girls as young as 9 have been raped and forced into sexual slavery. Boys have been tortured, forced into military training and ordered to carry out killings in public. Children have been targeted by sniper fire and used as bargaining chips to extract ransoms." And that does it for our news headlines today.